I want to welcome you to our fourth and final Sunday of Advent. As Meg said, Christmas Eve is just a few days away. And so throughout this season of preparation, we have been working on fixing our eyes on Jesus, taking hold of the transformational gifts that he provides, looking above the fray of the world, all the stuff, all the busyness, all the brokenness, all this, just the craziness of living in this world. God gives us the opportunity and the gift to be able to look beyond that, to rise above all that and see him. We've been seeing in Jesus some wonderful gifts that he gives us. On the first Sunday of Advent, we talked about hope. And we saw that Jesus is our living hope. In a world that often feels uncertain, Jesus reminds us that God's promises are secure and there is lasting hope in him. The second Sunday, we talked about peace. And we discovered a lasting peace that's available through Christ when we put our trust in him. A peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that guards our hearts and minds always. These gifts are so solid and secure. They are life-changing. Last week, we explored joy. We learned that real joy is found when we surrender the need to control our own outcomes and fully trust God, knowing that he is present in all things, directing our paths, even when it feels uncertain and it doesn't feel good. We can have joy in all circumstances because we know God is in control, and we can trust him with that. Today, as we draw close to the day we celebrate Jesus' birth, we take time to embrace the gift that lies at the foundation of all of these things, and that is the gift of love. Because without love, the others wouldn't exist. By stepping out of eternity into our world, Jesus taught us what true love really is. He gave us a love that transforms our lives, a love that pursues us, a love that ultimately lays itself down for us. And to truly understand the depth of the love that Jesus showed us, we have to look at what it cost him. When we think about the cost to Jesus, we often think about the cross, about him giving up his life for us. But that's not the first sacrifice Jesus made. It cost him a great deal to come into our world as a child. The Apostle Paul tells us something about what Jesus sacrificed in his letter to the Philippians. So let's start out together by reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. So we'll go ahead and find that. And here's this memory thing that I always love to throw out there every now and then. What is the great treat that True North Church has on Sunday mornings? Popcorn. So if you want to remember the order that Paul's letters come in after the Gospels, just remember to go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. See how easy that is? That's right. I love that one. My wife taught me that one. I love it so much. What did I say we are? Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. There we go. Thank you. Galatians 2. Paul writes here, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." So Paul mentions the sacrifice of the cross, but he also talks about Jesus' very nature. He is God. He is eternal, all-powerful. He is the creator. He is the king above all kings. When we think about these kinds of things, we think about power. And when we think about power, we imagine what we could do with it. We think about how we can use power to protect ourselves, to elevate ourselves, to serve the interests of our lives. But Jesus did not consider those things to be something to be used for his own gain. He He shows us that the very nature of God is to serve, to love. Jesus set all those divine abilities that he has aside, all the things that we consider to be advantages, he set them aside to become human. And not just any human, he chose to be born as a human child, born into a meek family, entering our world in the most vulnerable of ways. And even as he was born, his life was already being threatened by King Herod. Jesus chose to give up every advantage, all that power, to become a vulnerable child. When we read these words in Philippians, we see that Jesus' love was proven long before he reached the cross. To show us what love is, Jesus set aside his divine nature to become like us and experience life just as we do, beginning with birth in a manger, a food trough. Among the lowest ways he could come, he traded perfection of his throne for poverty of his stable. He traded his limitless power for the utter vulnerability of a human infant that had to be fed and held and protected. This was his first great sacrifice. He gave up all he had so he could enter into the darkness of our world. So his birth wasn't just a beautiful beginning, it was a deliberate and costly choice. It was the first act of a king who defines love not by what he can gain, but by how much he is willing to give away for the sake of those he cares for. This love that Jesus demonstrates for us is very different from the kind of love we humans are used to. The worldly love is often conditional. Now, you know what? I don't even want to say often conditional. Human love is always conditional. We love people if they are kind to us. We love them because they share certain interests. It's a love that looks for personal benefits and rewards. If the feeling fades or the person changes, worldly love often retreats. We see that in our world all the time. Love doesn't last. Love fades. But Jesus' love is not based on worthiness of the recipient. It's based on the character of the giver. Worldly love says, I will love you if you deserve it or if I get what I want. Right? Jesus' love says, I choose to love you. And your worth is not in what you do for me, but in who you are. And you are someone made with incredible capabilities. Someone with ideas and experiences worth knowing. Someone who is worth pursuing and making personal sacrifices for, regardless of how you have lived. As I was thinking about this, about how Jesus chooses us, I was thinking about how often in the church we say, Jesus decided we're worthy of love in spite of our sin. And that really paints the picture that there's not much about us that's worth choosing. We're just sinners. We have failed. And yet Jesus chose to love us. And it's almost like a pitiful kind of love that he has for us. And I thought, no, that's not really a good description of how Jesus loves. Jesus sees something in you that you may not see for yourself. Yes, we have sinned and fallen short. Yes, we have failed to be obedient, but that's not all that defines you. Jesus made you as somebody with incredible value. You have much to offer. Not only him, but this world. You are capable of much more than you realize. And Jesus sees that when he sees you. And he helps reveal those things to us when we come to faith in him. It is not just that we are lowly sinners, that we are creatures of incredible worth. And Jesus knows that. And that worth that he sees in you is worth him giving up every advantage for. That's the kind of love that Jesus has, because he wants you to know how beautiful you are, how amazing you are. So in our culture, love is often reduced to a warm feeling. And sometimes when we think about love, even in the church, we think about it as this gift that we're really not worth having. But it's so much more than that. We see a love that reveals and transforms truth. We see a love that is worth sacrificing for. And Jesus didn't just say he loved. He showed it. Not only by giving up his divine position and coming into this world, not only by sacrificing his life on the cross, but he showed love to people throughout his life on this planet. He didn't just feel pity for the outcasts. He reached out to them. He touched them. The people who were untouchable to the Jews that were cast out of the society, Jesus went to them and cared for them and healed them and entered into their lives. He didn't just feel compassion for the lost. He befriended them. So many times I'm reminded that Jesus was the friend of sinners. That's how people saw him, because he acted on it. He lived his life with those who were lost, who fell short, who needed a savior. He didn't just feel sorry for them. He didn't judge them. He went and lived life with them. And he does the same for us. When he stepped into that manger, he showed us a love that doesn't just wait for the person to come. He doesn't wait for us to make the first move. True love initiates reaching out to the other person. It goes to that other person, even when life is messy or broken, offering sustaining friendship, care, encouragement, and practical help. That's the kind of love that Jesus has taught us. It's a love that's challenging and sacrificial, but it's such an amazing gift. Jesus defined love in this way in John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And he showed that in so many ways. The Apostle Paul pointed out how amazing and unusual this demonstration of love is in Romans 5. Let's turn to that and read that one together. Romans chapter 5. Verses 6 through 8. I'll give you a moment to find that. Romans 5, 6, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So Paul points out how rare this demonstration of love is in our world. Very rarely will someone die for a righteous man. Right? And we can think about that for a moment. How often does someone step forward and say, "I will give my life to save that other person"? We see it portrayed in movies and in films and things because it's such an outstanding demonstration of love, but we don't really see that often in real life. We don't see people going out of their way for another person. We don't see people holding on the way Jesus did, sacrificing, even when that person continues down the path that they were once on, continuing to fall short. But Jesus gave his life for all of us, and Jesus came into this world for all of us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to clean up ourselves, didn't wait for us to prepare ourselves, to make ourselves obedient first. He came first and remained with us, and still to this day remains with us. This is how amazing and unusual this demonstration of love is. It's a true and powerful and transformational kind of love. When we grasp this idea of love that Jesus showed us, it changes our identity because it gives us security. We learn that we are loved simply because we are his, not because of anything we do or what we fail to do or what we are able to do. You don't have to struggle to earn your way to him. He simply loves you. And there's such security in that. This kind of love brings healing. This is a love that's safe. We don't have to worry that he's going to say, "Oh, I love you today, but not tomorrow because of this thing in your life." We don't have to worry that he's going to walk with us today and then tomorrow say, see you. Once you finally figure that thing out, I'll come back. No, he'll be with you always. He's a king who doesn't use his power to crush us or to control us, but to carry us. He lifts us up when we are weak. He gives us strength when we can't do it on our own. And that kind of love heals. And this love brings freedom. Because we are fully loved by God, we are finally free from the need for everyone else to approve of us. We have the love of the King of the universe. And when you know that you have that kind of approval and acceptance, you don't have to worry that you're not going to get enough in this world. And that frees us from having to take from other people and say, no, I need more for myself. No, there's enough. There's enough for all of us. You don't have to worry that God's going to give more love to somebody else and you're going to be left behind. No, he loves you fully and completely. And he's able to give you all that you need. There is a freedom that comes from that. As we embrace this love and we live in this kind of love, we start to understand that we have a great opportunity to share that love with the world as well. As we turn to Jesus and receive this love and grace that he offers, we learn how to express that love to others in the same way that he's shown us. In John 13:34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. There's a lot of power in that statement. And there is weight in that statement. That we are to love as Jesus has loved us. This gift of love that we get from Jesus becomes a calling in our lives. It transforms the way that we live. It transforms the way that we see other people around us. Receiving the love of Jesus is what empowers us to take that love to the world. And just as Jesus came to offer himself to us, demonstrating his love calls on us to initiate connection with other people. Rather than waiting for them to show up in our lives, rather than them showing that they are worthy of receiving something from us, we learn to do what Jesus did, to go to people where they are, to pursue them for the sake of showing them love, just as Jesus showed us love. And this does require self-sacrifice. It takes effort combined with Jesus leading to develop in our lives. And I know how challenging this can be. Even just the basic part of taking time to consider other people and what's happening in their lives. That can be a lot of effort. Our lives are so busy. Our lives are so full, right? How many people do you know that their entire life is really just enveloped in their own immediate family and their work and their household, and they just can't seem to handle much more than that? We all live in that kind of world. The demands of life are huge. And Jesus is asking us to sacrifice something of that to begin with, to consider other people, to take some time out for the sake of somebody else who needs to know love. So first, we have to train ourselves to turn our attention outward, even just for a moment each day. You might begin with just developing the habit of a daily prayer to God to call to mind one or two people that you can reach out to. Pray about the people you know and what they have going on in their lives. And then really pay attention to when God places someone specific on your mind. I have learned this in so many ways. I've been amazed that when I actually respond, when Jesus puts somebody on my heart, most of the time when I hear back from this, how did you know that I needed that today? Right? Thank you. I needed to hear that today. I had this thing going on. It is amazing. And it teaches me that God does direct my thoughts. He does speak. And that his love truly is needed in this world. People are out there longing for someone to notice them, to care for them. And we all feel that. We want people to care for us, right? God is calling on us to be the ones who initiate that reach of love. So as you begin to turn your attention outward to considering other people, the next step is to take some action, just as Jesus took action. It might begin as simple as sending a message or making a phone call and saying, "Hey, how are you today?" Or, "You're on my mind today. Is there some way I can be praying for you?" Those simple questions like that just open the door to making a connection with someone, to sharing love with them, even just letting someone know, "Hey, you're on my mind. I'm thinking about you. Hey, I knew that you had this thing happening today. How did it go?" Simple things are such a strong expression of love, and that begins to open the door to further expressions of love. There'll be the moment to say, "Hey, I could really use some help with this thing." And you make a sacrifice of your life to reach out. It's all about making movement toward another person, considering them, noticing them, asking questions and praying. The goal here is not to fix or direct or tell people how to get their lives right, but rather just do what Jesus did. Enter into their lives. Choose them. Tell them they are worthy. Give them the security of knowing that someone cares for them just where they are. And that opens the door to helping them realize that this love that you're expressing is not from you, it's from God himself. That he has poured this love into your life and you can't help but share it with somebody else. So we begin to encourage, to walk through challenges with people, to empower them and to offer wise counsel for them to consider. It often seems risky to take the initiative like this. How are people going to respond? What are they going to say? How are they going to treat me? Sometimes people do hurt you in response. Or they become suspicious very often, don't they? We've experienced it. I don't know how many of you have experienced it where somebody's like, "Why would you show this to me? Why would you? You can't really care for me," right? We've had people resist because they haven't gotten their lives together yet, right? They're wondering what's in it for you, right? That's because that's what the world has taught them. Yeah. We are gifted with this incredible gift, and we are called, we are commissioned to share something that the world just doesn't understand. And I sometimes think we take that for granted as Christians because it's part of our lives so much. We think everyone knows this. No, they don't. And so it's kind of risky. And we have to know that the love may not be returned. And we're not doing it for that, right? We have to keep that in mind. We're not doing it to get something. But our hearts long for love as well. And sometimes we think, "Well, how come nobody is loving me?" And that's a real, it's an important consideration. And that's why God gives us a church family. We ought to be reaching out to one another as well, right? So we all need this. But again, we are called to take initiative. We're called to give love away just as Jesus did, knowing that he loves you. That he already has given you all the love that you need. This kind of proactive pursuit of love is severely lacking in our world. And so Jesus gives us the opportunity to share it. And we know that he's going to love us in return. Not in return. Sorry, that's not the right way. Jesus is going to love us in spite of everything. He already has loved us. So despite all the risks, loving as Jesus did is always worthwhile. It gives people a glimpse of knowing what Jesus is like, and we can always depend on Jesus to keep caring for and providing for us as we step out in faith. He is our source of love that continues to pour into our lives. So this week, the challenge is to become that kind of person who moves toward others first. We're not going to wait for others to come to us, that we're going to go to them. We're going to enter into their lives just as Jesus entered into ours. That we're going to be willing to sacrifice something that we have for their sake, considering others as more important than ourselves. And I think this is especially appropriate at Christmas time, when the weight of broken relationships feels heavy as people are gathering together, when the busyness and the burden reaches a high point, and people are feeling stressed. How much more wonderful is it to receive the gift of love? Maybe there's somebody that you know, maybe even someone you haven't spoken to in years, or a friend where division has grown wide, or some family member who's just needing some love, or some coworkers, or somebody in your church family that could use some encouragement. And you are being invited by God to be the source for that, that we're going to take initiative to show people love. Take some time to consider others and begin with those small steps to pursue them with the love of Christ. Begin to develop this attitude in your life, to be a loving person just as Jesus was loving toward us. And let that gift that you share, let that be the gift that you share this Christmas as you celebrate Jesus and receive the love from him as well. We are called to love, and we are given the ability to love because he first loved us. Let's pray and give thanks for that wonderful gift. Lord, we thank you for your love, a love that continues to be poured out to us day after day. Help us to see it and realize it. It can be so hard for us, Lord, to remember even our own lives that you are always there. But this is the truth that you've revealed to us in your word. It's the truth that you continue to show us when we really seek you. Help us all to be secure in the love that you've given us and be so filled to overflowing that we can't help but share that same love with the world around us. Teach us, Lord, to make space in our lives for other people, to consider them, and then act on that consideration just as Jesus did, showing them that love that leads directly to you. In Jesus' name, amen.